BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This is Why Do We Do That? An anthropologist's guide to the modern world. And I'm Ella Alshamahi, paleoanthropologist, explorer, and stand-up comic. It can ruin your reputation. It can justify your behaviour. It's entertaining. It's a sin. Call it juicy. Call it idle. Every culture does it. It is gossip. The thing that can make you instantly love or hate someone you've never even met. Now, there is no world in which two zebras get together and are like, oh my God, did you hear about Mary? Or, be careful with that Paul, I've heard stories. You do need language, and so only humans gossip. But is this some side effect of language? Or has gossip evolved to fill some need? To help us unpack gossip, I'm going to be talking to anthropologist Dr. Nicole Hagen-Hess and the host of the Normal Gossip podcast, Kelsey McKinney. But let's start by delving into the anthropologist's notebook. A lot of religions and cultures around the world do see gossip negatively. But in one study, researchers got 467 Americans to carry recording devices. And they found that gossip was more likely to be neutral. But gossip probably isn't as simple as just positive, negative, or neutral. At its core, it's information and impression management. It helps you to learn about a situation, a group, a person, indirectly. It also tells you how people around you respond to others' behavior. It tells you what they really think. As insane as this sounds, gossip is a teacher of your community's social norms. That helps explain why you're happy to listen to gossip about perfect strangers. Kelsey McKinney hosts Normal Gossip, the podcast where ordinary people share their juiciest gossip, and she's even written a book about it. But her interest in gossip really began during the pandemic, when suddenly the most social species on Earth wasn't really allowed to socialize.
And that was the problem, was I had all these storylines, right? I was in the middle of seasons about, like, someone breaking up with their girlfriend, someone who had a secret brother, right? Like, all of these things that were happening to friends of mine that just died the minute that we all went into quarantine, because suddenly you couldn't break up with your girlfriend because you lived with her. You couldn't meet anyone new. And I realized, oh my God, we've been starved. And that is when I became, like, really interested in the storytelling portion of gossip. I had always been interested in it just because I grew up very religious and being told that gossip was a sin.
Yeah, same.
A universal experience in a way.
Yeah, having clearly moved on from that that thinking. What would you say makes a piece of gossip particularly valuable?
So valuable can mean a lot of things, right? Valuable can mean it actually helps you, which would be gossip that we get in, like, whisper networks or about people in power or gossip about things that can help our survival. But there's another kind of value, right, which is entertainment. And that's kind of the gossip that I specialize more in. And what makes a gossip valuable in entertainment is if it's good enough to retell it. A great piece of gossip is something that immediately comes back out of your mouth to someone else.
What Kelsey is actually saying at the end there is that gossip helps us bond. Professor Robin Dunbar popularized the idea of pro-social gossip, theorizing that it evolved to help us cooperate. Researchers at Dartmouth in the US observed that those who gossip together end up influencing each other, coming to similar conclusions and bonding in the process. But because we're so cooperative, we also need ways of stopping people from being selfish and gaming the system. Remarkably, another study showed that gossip could be part of this equation too. They found that people used gossip or reputational information to decide who to interact with, and those behaving selfishly were cast out, which then motivated those ostracized individuals to change their behavior. So gossip can act as a form of policing. However, if any of you have watched an episode of Gossip Girl or just lived, you might be well aware of the absolutely destructive quality of gossip, where innocent people get trashed and people less deserving use gossip, however inaccurate, to actually get ahead. Well, surprise, surprise, not all researchers agree with the pro-social camp. I spoke to anthropologist Dr. Nicole Hagen Hess at Washington State University, who argues that her research tells a different story.
Gossip has the potential to harm other people's reputation. So everything that comes with having a bad reputation is bad for your social situation. It can be bad for your financial, economic, food getting situation. And so when people gossip negatively about you, it really can cause substantial harm. Interestingly, gossip is in some accounts more common among women. There's been some different interpretations of that, but I have suggested that whereas men engage in physical aggression, women engage more in informational aggression. And so the same way that if someone harms you physically, that's bad for you. If they harm your reputation, that's also bad for you. And it can have really negative consequences. So people tend to want to control that stuff within their social groups. And so they police one another through gossip. And they also gossip in a way to protect their own reputation and perhaps harm the reputations of their competitors.
Okay, so we know that gossip can help or harm our reputation. The proponents of the pro-social camp think that it's there to bond us together, but you don't agree, do you?
So everybody knows that there is a correlation between gossip and feeling close to the person that you're gossiping with.
Yes.
And those guys have said that the reason for that is because if you gossip the person that you're agreeing with, you guys are both happy that you're helping your group do better through this evaluative punishment process. And I have a different account of that. I think that you gossip with close allies within your group because you two or three or four are a coalition where you're trying to benefit the members of the coalition. So I would say that the primary purpose is to benefit yourself and your close allies. They would say that the primary purpose is to benefit the entire group. And then I do experiments so that I can actually infer that causality.
These studies are, they do sound really interesting to set up.
Yeah, I've got one study where I attempted to demonstrate some of the elements for the pro-self theories. Participants read a scenario about an individual that's either in their work environment or from their home family environment. And then they read several gossip statements about that target, like this person regularly steals office supplies or this person is hated by their family. And then they indicated how likely they would be to transmit each of those positive and negative statements about the target to other people in the community. And what I found there is that the more competitive you were with the target, the more likely you were to spread negative gossip.
Ooh.
So in the work environment, there was a raise that you were competing with the target for. And then I also manipulated the amount of money that came with the raise. And if you had a higher raise, you spread more negative gossip. And if there were fewer raises to go around, you also spread more negative gossip. So in that study, I was kind of able to experimentally cause competition to make people gossip more negatively about the competitor.
If you think about it, it does kind of make sense. I would be more inclined to tell my coworkers about Dave stealing a stapler if Dave was also my main competition for that promotion. But Nicole didn't stop there. She wanted to find out whether this strategy could actually help people gossip their way to the top. Yeah, I said that, gossip your way to the top. She set up a similar scenario. This time, participants played the role of boss rather than gossiping employees.
So if you were someone who was giving out a promotion and you heard a ton of negative office-related gossip about a target, you were very unlikely to give them the promotion. If you heard a lot of negative family information about the target, it didn't as strongly impact how likely you were to give them the benefit. So the gossip had to be relevant and it had to be negative for you to withhold the benefit of giving something to this target.
But could this just be a Western or urban thing? Does gossip play a part in decision making in other cultures as well? Nicole visited a small-scale horticulturalist society in Central Africa called the Ngondu and worked with people there to devise a new version of the study.
They sat down with me and over several days we wrote a new type of scenario where you have some workers who help you in your garden and you as the participant have some clothing that you can give to this one particular worker. Here's a bunch of negative and positive gossip statements, and how likely are you to give them the clothing? And the results were pretty much the same for what we found for the online urban setting. The participant was more likely to give the benefit to workers about whom they heard more positive gossip and less negative gossip. So gossip does have real world consequences, that if gossip were nothing but random, untrue, informal talk, then it wouldn't be impacting how people decide to allocate benefits to other members of their communities.
So you've got two theories about gossip, one that says it's good for the group and one that says it's good for you. I wonder how at odds Kelsey sees these two theories.
They don't feel entirely oppositional to me either, right? Like, nothing is a better bonder of a group of people than one collective enemy. If there's someone in a workplace that everyone dislikes, the culture of that workplace is going to be very tight-knit against that person. It works always to have an enemy. And so I think they can be one in the same. I can create a bond with you by gossiping about him. That is a form of othering and a form of connection at once. In the current moment, we are swinging on a pendulum toward gossip is good, right? We are coming from a space of gossip is bad, and we are swinging. And I think that one of the common arguments for why gossip is good is that we use it to save each other, right? We use it to keep ourselves safe. And that is true. But I think there is a real danger in saying that something that is a tool, gossip as a tool, which can be wielded for good or evil, is morally positive because it can, in some circumstances, be used for good. That feels very dangerous to me.
That's a really good way of looking at it, that gossip is a tool, and in of itself, that tool is not necessarily good or bad, but that it can be used in a way that saves you from dating an awful person, but at the same time, you can ruin somebody's reputation unfairly.
Right. A lot of our lives and the way that we perceive the world is through the narrative we tell ourselves. And gossip is the narrative we tell each other about ourselves. And so there is danger there, but there is also a lot of good.
Finally, what would our lives be like without gossip?
Oh my God, boring. Wouldn't you be so bored?
The jury's out on whether gossip evolved to help us bond or to help us compete. But whichever it is, if indeed it's one or the other, it is a byproduct of us being highly social and having language. When you are this social a species and you live in huge groups, language becomes crucial. But we often just see language as this one thing, where in reality, we do all kinds of things with it, from teaching to singing, to gossiping, and each of them has its purpose in our very, very social species. XOXO. Why Do We Do That is a BBC Studios audio production for BBC Radio 4. This episode was presented by me, Ella Alshamahi, and produced by Emily Bird, with additional production from Olivia Jani. The series producer is Geraldine Fitzgerald. The executive producer is Alexandra Feacham. The commissioning editor is Rhianne Roberts. If you've enjoyed Why Do We Gossip, then remember there's even more in-depth science on BBC Sounds in our bonus episode, More Gossip with Nicole Hagen-Hess. You can find out how we study gossip from the playground to the sorority house. And to keep up to date with all the other episodes in this series, subscribe to Why Do We Do That on BBC Sounds and have push notifications turned on. That way you won't miss why we fall for the bad boy, get upset when our football team loses, and blush.
Hello, Greg Jenner here. I am the host of You're Dead to Me from BBC Radio 4. We are the comedy show that takes history seriously and then laughs at it. And we're back for a brand new series, Series 9, where we're covering all sorts of things from Aristotle to the legends of King Arthur to the history of coffee to the reign of Catherine of Medici of France. We are looking at the arts and craft movement and the life of Sojourner Truth and how cuneiform writing systems worked in the Bronze Age. Loads of different stuff. It's a fantastic series. It's funny. We get great historians. We get great comedians. So if you want to listen to You're Dead to Me, listen first on BBC Sounds.